This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So we'll get to meet the man who's going to make the game exciting for us this weekend.
I think that's outstanding. And he joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's been with us before. He's with us again. He's Tiki Barber. Hi, Tiki.
Hi, Tiki.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
We're doing well. Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We were just talking about Baker Mayfield, and in year number two, he's not been as good as year number one. And you could make the argument there are a lot of reasons why. As you've watched and getting ready for your work coming up on Sunday and watching Baker this year, what's the big difference between Baker? Is it Baker? Is it the play calling? Is it the coaching? Is it the team around him? What do you think it is?
Yeah, well, I think it's easy to give a simple reason or explanation, but I think it's a combination of a lot of things. There was such an expectation put on this team this year, and to live up to that in an organization that historically hasn't been a winning one, at least in the recent history, it's hard, right? It's a process to turn a culture around, and that's what they're trying to do. But they're all young, like Baker's young, and Chubb is young, and the defense is young, and the head coach is young, at least as a head coach in his rookie season, despite his interim term last year. And there's a book now on Baker, and so that sophomore slump, which is a cliche for quarterbacks, is real for a reason, because defensive coordinators aren't just going to, you know, sit back and say, "Hey, we have no idea how to stop this guy." They know how to stop players, and so you continually have to evolve. I think one of the biggest things that's plagued Baker is his confidence, and it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing because sometimes he thinks he can make throws that he can't. And for a while, 3 or 4 weeks there of the last couple, the Steelers notwithstanding, you know, he found ways to be smart with the football. And I think as their run game becomes more important and more of a focus, and he gets under center, they change their looks, it gets easier for him. But that's all on the head coach, who obviously is juggling head coaching and play calling duties. And so there's just a lot of moving parts, right? And it feels like they should be better. But to be honest with you, this is about where I expected they would be because of all of the new pieces, the new elements that they had to find ways to mesh together.
Tiki, you had a front row seat to a young quarterback coming in as the number one pick, not getting the job right away, then getting the job during his rookie year, and then going forward in Eli Manning. And I always liked Eli, and I always thought this guy never catches a break because I think during his entire career, somebody was always doubting him. Is there any parallel to be drawn between Eli and Baker? Because I think they're polar opposites when it comes to their attitude and their persona. Because, you know, Baker's out there, and Eli couldn't be more cool and calm and maybe so unassuming it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the on-field narrative, there is parallels. The off-field is not even close. They're antithesis of each other. But it's interesting because I think the reason Eli did survive those first 3 years, I knew he was going to be there. It's not like they were going to cut Eli and say, "Oh, you're not the answer." But the reason he survived in his own mind is because he let all that negativity just wash off of him. He didn't elevate to it. He didn't address it. He just kind of, okay, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to try to get better. And it served him that humility. And as a result, you couldn't knock him. You know what I mean? You didn't give yourself, he didn't give people license to hate him. I think the difference is with Baker, because of his confidence, which has served him so well through his whole life. I'm talking about in high school and in college and obviously even last year, that confidence it pops off the page, which is awesome in a locker room. But when you're losing on the outside, you get turned off by it. And so you almost want to knock him. And so I think in the locker room and on the field, there is a parallel between Eli and Baker's struggles, but it's the perception outside of the locker room and off the field that makes them seem vastly different, even if there are a lot of similarities.
Tiki, what are your thoughts on the Browns' 1-2 punch when it comes to running back right now with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? And are we, you know, Jeff and I have been talking about this a lot. The league seems to be trending back to having value for running backs.
Yeah, well, it's the value for the running backs that can do multiple things. That can, you know, catch passes out of the backfield and can line up in unique type situations. Like Kareem Hunt, you often see them on the field together, Kareem and Nick and Chubb, and it's, you know, Kareem's is a wide receiver, and he's coming in motion across the field. It's like he's that slot guy, even though he's not a slot wide receiver. He's a stout running back, and that value is immeasurable because it confuses defensive coordinators. You don't know where a running back is going to line up, and therefore your matchups get changed. You almost end up having to substitute, like put an extra DB on the field because you feel like he's a wide receiver, but then he can also run the football, and so now you're at a disadvantage. And so that's where the value comes of having two backs like Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And the question, you know, for it's like an embarrassment of riches in some ways for the Browns is how do we utilize them both? You know, how do we take most advantage of their skill sets? And it's hard to do. Obviously, Nick is having a great season. He's leading the league in rushing right now, which nobody saw coming or could even predict. And to be honest with you, most nationally don't even realize it. So they're having success with their running backs. And I think when they have success, it makes it a lot easier for this offense to execute, as we saw over the last 3 weeks prior to the Pittsburgh Steelers' second game.
Tiki Barber joining us. Tiki, of course, former great NFL running back. He'll be doing all of the color work on the Browns-Bengals telecast with Beth Mowins coming up this weekend, 1 o'clock start. When you look at the Browns and offensively, Tiki, I'm sure as a former Giant, you've been paying close attention to Odell Beckham. And
right.
we've thought all year long, what's going on here? And we don't think it's Odell. How much of Odell being a good wide receiver instead of a stunningly great wide receiver has been on him, and how much is it other circumstances?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of 50. It's the 50-50. So if you just look at the statistical comparisons, because he only played 12 games last year for the New York Giants before he got injured. He's at the 12-game mark right now with the Cleveland Browns. The stats is a big dip. Big dip in targets, big dip in receptions, a big dip in yards, and obviously touchdowns. Some of that is explained away because Jarvis Landry's having a heck of a season.
Yeah.
Right? You kind of forget that this other guy on the other side is actually pretty damn good as well. But I think when I watch it, it's the routes that he's being asked to run. The Giants had a lot of success with getting the ball in Odell's hands quickly. Now, if you watch how the Browns are utilizing him, a lot of times he's split wide to the weak side, and he's running deep routes. And if you're a defense, you're putting a shell on that side, so there's a safety back there, and there's just not availability to get him the football. And so when you throw him the football, they're 50-50 balls, and that's why, you know, not coincidentally, his catch rate is 55%. Right. And so I think how he's being utilized is one of the reasons that he's not having the, you know, quote unquote explosive, you know, uber athlete type season that we saw in those Giant years. And so if you're the Cleveland Browns, who in a lot of ways have an embarrassment of offensive riches in the skill position, getting him touches should be a priority. It's just hard to do when you're having Jarvis Landry have such a good season and Nick Chubb running the ball the way that he's doing. You get Njoku back maybe this weekend. So there's just a lot of options. And it was one of the questions that as a national show that me and BT on Tiki and Tierney that we talked about was, dude, how do you keep everybody happy? And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Odell Beckham.
Tiki, with that in mind, you know, we think back to the Jets game where he caught, you know, a real quick little slant and took
right.
it right down the seam for like 88 yards. What kind of a coaching blunder has it been to not run the types of patterns to get that ball in his hands right away, even with Jarvis doing as well as he is? Because I agree with you, he's been terrific. And the running game being what it is, I've thought all year, can't you throw this guy the ball and get it to him quick and let him use his legs?
Yeah, well, you do. It's just think about all the moving parts, though, because in order for that to happen, like you need Odell and Jarvis on the field all the time because you get a busted play, you get scramble rules, you chuck it to them, and anything can happen. So you need those guys on the field. But to manufacture the matchup, like moving Odell into the slot so that you get him on, you know, a substituted player, whether it's a linebacker or safety that's coming down to cover, which makes the completion that much easier, is difficult. You know what I mean? So, like, game planning the matchup is hard. And I think with all of the new pieces, the Browns are still in a learning process with themselves. I mean, not just, you know, Baker throwing the football or getting the football to his skill position players, but this coaching staff, you know, designing things that fully take advantage of all the assets that they have. I think that that's coming, and it's why when I hear, you know, some people predicting, yeah, Freddie Kitchens is gone, he's lost control of this team, it's short-sighted, right? Because he hasn't had time to create the culture that it takes to be successful. Yes, the talent's there, but throwing talent all together doesn't create wins. It's a process, and you can't be short-sighted about it. And I think that's where the Browns still need to grow. On paper, it's amazing, but in reality, it's a lot more complicated than just sticking the pieces on the puzzle and hoping that they fit.
Tiki, you were talking about motivation for a second. I just, you know, look, the likelihood of the Browns having any shot at the postseason pretty much died last week.
Yeah.
When you've got a big game against Pittsburgh, playoff atmosphere, as Freddie said, how do you avoid the letdown knowing that, you know, that postseason probably isn't there? I know they're professionals. I know we say that. But I got to believe somewhere in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, man, all right, I know I'm playing for tape. You don't want to be that. I mean, I don't know that you want to be that guy. How do you keep it going?
Yeah, it's a good question because this isn't a team that's full of, you know, like 30-year-old vets. You know, like everybody, you look at the roster, everybody's 23 or 24 or 25. And so in a sense, they kind of all know that they're going to be there. You know what I mean? I remember this happened at the end of the Fossil era. Jim Fossil was our head coach, and he knew he was going to get fired. And Wellington Mara, one of the great names in the history of football, and obviously with the Giants as well, comes into the meeting room, and he just, in his stoic voice, he's like, just look to your left and look to your right. Two of you aren't going to be here. You know what I mean?
Man.
It was like, oh, my God. Right? So, and this was like with four games left in the season. It was a disappointing season. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, dude, we better like pick it up. I mean, I was sitting next to Amani Toomer and Ike Hilliard, so I knew that all three of us were safe. But, you know, that meant that like two other groups were, all you guys were gone. But I think that, that's not the case in Cleveland, because they are all so young. I mean, people forget it. The average age of this team is got to be 24 years old. So they're all going to be there. And this is where leadership and young leadership really has to step up. This is where the Baker Mayfields of the world really have to carry the day. The Schoberts, who's turning into one of the great young linebackers in football, he's really got to step up and keep these guys motivated, because you're right, and that question was spot on. That is going to happen because these guys know that they're not getting jettisoned.
Tiki, always a pleasure to have you with us. You can hear Tiki calling the game along with Beth Bowens on CBS, Browns, Bengals, and, of course, always on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Radio. A pleasure, Tiki.
Thanks, Tiki.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Tiki Barber joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.